Seated. So we've been talking the last few weeks, the last 2 weeks, about this title, the sermon title, and someone said this week, I was meeting with someone and they said, where in the world do you get a title like "Where When Pigs Fly?" You know, and I love this title. This title I think is so descriptive of that idea of miracles, something that is impossible, something that can never happen. And yet, you know, because whenever I was growing up, again, we use this saying an awful lot. You know, somebody would ask a question or say something, and to get across that idea that it would be a miracle if this thing happened, we would say, when pigs fly. And of course, never saw a flying pig. Now, since we've started this sermon series, I have seen numerous flying pigs. People are sending me pictures of flying pigs, and keep it up. I like it. So, you know, just go ahead. If you have a picture, now most of them, I admit, most of them are made out of clay or they're a graphic, a cartoon, something like that. But I've still seen lots of pictures of flying pigs. So if you have a flying pig picture, please send it to me. I'm collecting those and we'll use it. We'll have another sermon series at some point, you know, saying, you know, pigs actually do fly or something, and that's what we'll use to prove that. But today, I think we probably are talking about one of the things that is most difficult for us, that we would say if there is anything that proves that God still does the miraculous, it's that topic that we're talking about today. It is the healing of illness, the healing of our physical bodies. Now, if I were to ask you, and you don't have to raise your hand, this is just theoretically, if I were to ask you if you believed that God has the ability today to heal someone of their physical illness, would that be something where if you were asked that, you'd stick up your hand and say, oh, yes, I believe that 100%? Or might you say, well, I kind of think it's possible because I never want to say that God can't do something. And so because of that, I might kind of raise my hand half-hearted and then maybe put it behind my head. Or would you say, no, God doesn't do that anymore. He did in the time of Scripture, but that's not something that God does today. Wherever you stand on that topic, it's a topic that for most of us is a topic that we struggle with because we don't always see healing in the way that we think we might. We see it in Scripture, and we want desperately to believe, because in Scripture we see that the sick were healed, the dead were raised. And we look at the disciples in John 14, 12 through 14. Jesus tells the disciples, truly I say to you, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do, and greater works than these will he do, because I am going to the Father. Whatever you ask in my name, this I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. Now that's pretty broad. That covers a lot of ground. And whenever Jesus says, those things that I have done, that you've seen me do, you will do greater than that, we wonder why we don't see that. We wonder what's happened. And maybe some of you, and myself included, have prayed that God would heal someone. And we felt like we had faith, and we wanted fervently to believe that God would do it. And we were fervent in our prayer. We were really doing our very best to lift this person to the Father, believing that he could heal them. And maybe even the person that we were praying for was a believer, and maybe they were the kind of person, you know, I don't like this phrase, but maybe we would term them a good Christian, someone who lived out the things that we feel like identify us with God, and yet they weren't healed. And what do we do? What do we do when that happens? I think that's one of the biggest tensions for many people, because we feel like God seems petty. Maybe he's done it at times, and we maybe even have heard stories about someone who was healed, and yet when we prayed, it didn't happen. Or even worse, maybe when we were the person who was sick. And we wonder, is God petty, or maybe he's just arbitrary? He just closes his eyes and reaches out and touches someone, and that person gets the healing, but the person we prayed for, perhaps we're not healed in that. We know he can, and yet when he doesn't, it's confusing to us. We have doubts and questions. We wonder, why is it that God didn't heal? According to one writer, Thomas Aquinas once called on Pope Innocent II when the latter was counting a great sum of money. And he said to Thomas Aquinas, he said, "You see, Thomas, the church can no longer say, 'Silver and gold have I none.'" To which Thomas Aquinas replied, "True, Holy Father, but neither can we say, 'Rise and walk.'" So is that the problem? Are we so rich and satisfied that we no longer must depend on God, so we have lost the faith we need to see God do miraculous things in our lives? We have so many resources available to us. Is the problem that we feel like we don't need God, so he doesn't have the freedom to work in our lives as he did at one time? That may be. Maybe our expectations have waned so that we don't think that God really can heal today. But I believe he does. I believe he can. I believe he does. I believe that God works through doctors. And by the way, Luke, the writer of one of the biographies, one of the Gospels, was a doctor himself. And yet when you read Luke's Gospel, you see Luke giving credit where there is the healing of physicians, but also showing miracles of God where Jesus has intervened and where he miraculously heals. In fact, Luke is the only one of the gospel writers who gives us the story of the servant whose ear was cut off by Peter when Jesus was arrested, and Jesus puts the ear back on. Earliest case of plastic surgery, right there. I believe God heals today. I believe he supernaturally heals. He works, no doubt at all, that God works through doctors and medical professionals. But God works independently of doctors and all medical professionals in doing acts, miraculous acts of healing. But I believe we're asking the wrong question. I believe we're asking the wrong question. The question is not truly why God heals at times and doesn't heal at other times. I think the real question is why God heals anyone. The real question is, why would God heal? What is it that God accomplishes whenever God heals someone? What is it? What reasons could be behind the healing? Why would God want to heal someone in the first place? There's some things that help us kind of narrow down the focus a little bit. And these things help us understand perhaps what healing is not. The first thing we know is that earthly healing is always temporary. There's no one who is healed miraculously or by doctors. There is no one who is healed who never gets sick again. Who simply, it seems like, you know, they catch a cold and instantly they're healed again from it. The flu, no problem. They break a bone and all of a sudden it heals. It's not that way. We've never seen Jesus heal in a way that all of a sudden that person was immune to any kind of sickness or physical problems. It never worked that way. Even where Jesus healed miraculously, it was temporary. Because this life is temporary. So Jesus' purpose in healing is not that our bodies on this earth become suddenly immune to any kind of sickness or physical challenge. That's not the purpose of Jesus in healing. And also, we know that earthly healing doesn't prevent any kind of further suffering. It's not only that God doesn't, that the healing is temporary. We know that suffering of all kinds come on this earth. We're told in Scripture, in this life, in this world, you will have suffering. You will have problems. We know that that is a part of living in the broken world that we live in. And that believers often suffer more because we live in such a way that puts us at odds with the culture in general. And because of that, we oftentimes are called to suffer more, not less. So Jesus' purpose in suffering is not, in healing, is not to eliminate suffering totally from our lives. We know that suffering is a part of being in this broken world. We also know that healing doesn't prove God. That's not why he heals. He doesn't heal so that we know that he exists. He doesn't heal so that we'll believe, so that suddenly, because he's done this miraculous sign, everybody will suddenly say, oh, well, that proves it. That's it right there. In fact, Mark 8, 11 through 12, the Pharisees, it says, starting in verse 11, the Pharisees came and began to argue with him, seeking from him a sign from heaven to test him. And he sighed deeply in his spirit and said, why does this generation seek a sign? Truly, I say to you, no sign will be given to this generation. So if you've ever gone to God, you've said, look, God, here's the thing. If you will heal this person, perhaps it's someone that you cared deeply about, or perhaps it was you who went and said, God, I need your healing. And if you'll heal me, I'll believe that you're really there. If you'll heal this person, if you'll do something supernatural in their lives and heal them, then God, that's enough for me. God says, you generation who want a sign, and you think that that will prove God, you will not receive a sign, because the purpose of healing is not to prove God. So what is the purpose of healing? Why does God heal anyone? I want to read probably my favorite story of healing in all of Scripture, and it's in Luke 5, verses 17 through 26. And it says, on one of those days, as he was teaching, this being Jesus, Pharisees and teachers of the law were sitting there, who'd come from every village of Galilee and Judea and from Jerusalem. And the power of the Lord was with him to heal. And behold, some men were bringing on a bed a man who was paralyzed. And they were seeking to bring him in and lay him before Jesus. But finding no way to bring him in because of the crowd, they went up on the roof and let him down with his bed through the tiles into the midst before Jesus. And when he saw their faith, he said, man, your sins are forgiven you. And the scribes and Pharisees began to question, saying, who is this who speaks blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God alone? When Jesus perceived their thoughts, he answered them, why do you question in your hearts? Which is easier, to say your sins are forgiven, or to say rise and walk? But that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins, he said to the man who was paralyzed, I say to you, rise, pick up your bed, and go home. And immediately he rose up before them and picked up what he had been lying on and went home glorifying God. And amazement seized them all, and they glorified God and were filled with awe, saying, "We have seen extraordinary things today." Now, I love this story. And I want you to know that I believe that the reason that God heals, both in Scripture and also today, is because earthly healing accomplishes a kingdom goal. Now, I have really bad news for us all, because all of us believe that the world circles around us, right? That we're the center of the universe, and that all of us, at one time or another, we all believe that. Now, here's the bad news. It's not about you. If Jesus heals, when God intervenes and miraculously does something in your life or in the life of someone that you're close to, it's not about you. It's not about the person, primarily, not about the person who is being healed. Because we already know that that person is going to get sick again. We already know that there will be suffering regardless of how much healing is done in someone's life. It's temporary. This life is not all there is. It's just a stopover. We already know that none of that is true. And so the purpose is not, well, you know, I feel sorry for that person. I'd like to ease their suffering. Well, here's the problem with that. If that's the way God approaches it, then we have a problem, because the next time we suffer is right around the corner. Whether or not it's physically, or whether it's because of emotions or emotional problems, or because of family issues, suffering is a part of this broken world. And if God is simply saying, you know, I'm sorry that person is struggling right at this point, then he needs to eliminate it all. So there's something else going on. And I believe that something else is that God is accomplishing kingdom purposes through earthly healing. Does something strike you about the conversation that Jesus has with the Pharisees and the teachers of the law? They bring him in, and I love the picture. You know, they lower him, they tear off the roof. Now think about that. You know, this person's offered their house for Jesus to come in. I'm not sure they realized that the roof would be literally lifted in that service. But they tear through the tiles of the roof and they lower the man down. And Jesus doesn't start by saying, "You're healed." He goes to the bigger miracle. Remember, we started by saying the biggest miracle that God can do in anyone's life is to say, "You are healed from that break in relationship with God." That the biggest healing, the thing that we need most, is not healing from physical problems or whatever we're going through. That's not the biggest miracle that God can do in our lives. And Jesus starts by saying, "Friend, your sins are forgiven. Those things which separate you from your Lord and God, they're healed. You're forgiven of that." And of course, the Pharisees and Sadducees begin to say, "What a blasphemer." And here's the truth. If Jesus was not who he said he was, that's true. That would be an incredible act of blasphemy for Jesus to say, "Your sins are forgiven." But Jesus says, he knows what they're saying, and he says, "So you think that I don't have that authority?" Because only God has the authority to forgive sins. And so he uses healing the man physically, which we sometimes think is also, they thought and we sometimes also think, that the greater miracle is the miracle of healing. And it's not. But they also felt that way, and he said, "So that you understand, so that you can see with your eyes that I have the authority to do what you cannot see with your eyes, this man will stand on the legs that he cannot use." He will see. It is an act of grace. It is an act of love. When Jesus heals the man who is paralyzed, Who do you think he's showing more love to, the man or those sitting in the room? Here's the truth. The man is the one who walked, but the ones he was showing love to were those in the room who could see his authority and had the opportunity to have the bigger miracle in their lives, which was the miracle of deliverance, that redemption of being healed spiritually. His grace was shown to the man, but the love that was shown was not just to the man. It was to everyone in the room who saw it and had the opportunity to respond to the fact that Jesus had authority, not just over the physical problems, but over the sin that separated that man for all eternity from his God. The grace and the love was not just shown to the man, it was shown to those watching. Yesterday, I saw a beautiful example of God's love. One of this family, a member of this church family, Cadesti, is in the hospital. And the truth is that unless God intervenes in a supernatural way, she probably will not be with us for more than a few more days at the most. And so yesterday, went to the hospital, our church. Our Warren went in, and there were two folks from our church already there praying, singing. Cadesti was there. Another friend was there. But over and over again, every time I've gone by, there have been people from this church who have gone by and who have prayed, who have been with Cadesti. And I know Cadesti, she's gotten to the point now where she can barely speak. And we read scripture together, we prayed together, and she barely could push out the words that she wanted to, for you to know of her love and to pray for her. But she has been a witness of the love of God. Now, I would love for God to intervene. I would love for God to say, you know what? The way in which I receive the most glory is by healing Cadesti physically. I'd love that. But his authority and the greater miracle is already being exhibited through her life. She has been put there. God has allowed her to be there, and she is witness to people that you and I may never see, may never encounter. Now, which is the greater act of a loving God? To make it so that Cadesti was never there, or to use her to tell of the love of the Father that heals for all eternity? And Cadesti knows that when this life is over, it's simply a step into eternity. And you know what? She's not the only one. Every nurse, every doctor, every person who has come into that hospital room knows exactly the same thing. So which is the greater miracle? That she has that kind of hope in the midst of her sickness, or that God heal her? A loving God works to proclaim the greatest miracle of all. And it's the healing of our hearts. And so God's purpose in healing is always, there's always a kingdom purpose whenever God does it. And the first part of that is that it magnifies Jesus. It is his authority which is on display when God heals. When he intervenes and says, the best way that I can accomplish the purpose that I desire is through physical healing, it always magnifies Jesus. It never magnifies me. It never magnifies you. It always magnifies Jesus, every single time. But the second thing is that notice how the believers in our story, the believers are encouraged They let down the man. Imagine what an encouragement that was to those who let down this man on the mat and then suddenly find they've got an empty mat because he's gotten up and walked away. What an encouragement it is to the believers. Our faith is well placed in Christ. But we know that that is not because he proves it through his healing, but when he does, when it fits his purpose, then it is a wonderful encouragement. But most of all, it's a promise of things to come. Because here's the truth. When God has done that greatest miracle in our lives, when he has delivered and healed the break that is between us and God, what we have to look forward to is an eternity in which God does take away all pain, sorrow, suffering. There is no more sickness in eternity. And when God does intervene, when he does miraculously heal, it is a promise of the things to come. People come to faith because of healing, but not because it proves God, but because we point them to an eternity in which Jesus has healed us of the separation, that we are with him for all eternity. Earthly healing is only temporary. We'll get sick again. We'll break another leg. We'll do all of those things. We'll suffer. Even if God heals in that one time, it does not mean that every single time we will experience that. But in eternity, it's gone. We must remember, God is the one who determines his goals. It is his kingdom. We pray, when we pray the Lord's Prayer, we pray, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That is, we submit to his kingdom and his goals. It's not that we suddenly slip into first place. His purposes remain the top priority. Our faith is not in what God does. It is in who God is. And our faith is in his goodness and his love. He showed that to us on the cross so that we could be healed for all eternity. And the biggest proof of that has already been given. My ability to understand God's purposes does not determine whether or not they are good. We are not the judge of the goodness of God. God has proven his goodness. So, as we draw our time to a close, let me ask you a question. Are we willing to submit to God using us for his purpose and goals? If God's purpose and goals can best be accomplished in our lives, through a physical healing of some sort, through in ourselves or in the life of someone we know, are we willing to allow him to do that? And if God's purposes and goals are best accomplished when we suffer well, perhaps even when we die well, are we willing to go down that path? All of us would choose the healing. Everybody would say, you know, sign me up for the healing one. I'll take that one. And sometimes God works that way. But what happens when it's the other path? Are we willing to go down that path with God and trust that He is just as good, He is just as loving, regardless of which path He calls us to take. Because ultimately, the greatest miracle is the deliverance of our lives for all eternity, and that we live in relationship with Him. Would you pray with me, please? Father, as we come to this time, we confess that we'd always rather You heal. None of us choose willingly to go down a path that leads to suffering. And yet, Father, we desire to submit to You, to submit to what it is that You desire to do in and also through us, so that even if Your calling in our lives is to suffer, Father, help us to do so well. Help us to proclaim Your name and show the hope that we have in You. Father, all of us will face at some time or another, all of us will face that death, that step from this life into the next that we call death. And Father, may we die well. May people look at us and proclaim that there must be a God in heaven because of the way we approach life's challenges. Give us strength. Give us grace. Father, I pray specifically today for Kadesti. Lord, be with her in the hospital today. Thank You that her life has proclaimed just that, that You are Lord and You are mighty, and her greatest hope is not in healing. Although, Father, if You would choose to heal, we would love that. But Father, Kadesti's greatest hope is not that she gets well, it's that she spends eternity with You. Thank You. We thank You and we pray this in Your name. Amen. So as we come to this point of the service where we have the opportunity to respond, we're going to sing, and maybe it's time for you to respond. Maybe you need to say, I want to put my faith in that kind of God who is good, who is loving, and who will carry me no matter what life brings. I'll be here at the front and would love to pray with you. You can pray with a neighbor or you can come forward, but submit your life to Him. Would you stand with me, please, as we pray?